atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Richard Mack, on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use continues. I am live on the road. We've had a couple of power outage glitches. Don't mind the reality. Live radio sometimes is a little glitchy. We just power through it and do the very best we can. That's how we roll on the radio. It is a beautiful day in the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. This is the broadcast for March 13th in the year of our Lord, 2021. And this is hour two of two on your radio. The good Sheriff Richard Mack with me. He was with me last hour, too. And last hour, we talked a lot about racism. And, ladies and gentlemen, in America, I don't believe most of us are racist at all. I'm sure there's a few people that are that way. But most of us rub shoulders with one another. And if there's good people around, we love them. If there's bad people around, we try to help them. And if we feel like we can't, we try to stay away from them. And it's that simple of a deal. People want to love and be loved. You know what? People of all cultures want really the same thing. They want to be loved. They want to be respected. They want to contribute to life and to society. And you know what? We're all God's children. We should act like it. But I want to jettison the race card for this hour and the race discussion for this hour. I want to talk about what just happened, because a lot of this racism, a lot of this division in America over race, over ideologies, is busting into violence. As you've seen all the last summer, the Black Lives Matter and the other groups have kind of gone crazy, Antifa, et cetera. Then they say in January the Trump groups went crazy. They want you to believe that everybody's violent now. So first off, everybody's a racist. Secondly, now everybody's violent. Here's what happened. Portland rioters attacked the federal courthouse. They set fire and bashed Biden. They say, new president, same imperialism. Violence erupted in Portland on Thursday night, so just 2 days ago, as rioters targeted, smashed windows, destroyed property. They targeted the Mark O. Hatfield U.S. courthouse. Federal officers were dispatched to quell the unrest. I guess that included fires and windows smashed. There had been regular protests and riots in downtown Portland since the May 25th death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, despite frequent efforts to stop the violence. So, Sheriff, what do you say? This is still going on. Most Americans don't even realize it because it's not happening in the neighborhood, but this has been going on for, we're coming up 10 months, almost a year, sir.
Well, yeah, no kidding. Yeah, it's and maybe the conspiracy to plan this has been going on even much longer than a year. But I must tell you, at the top of the hour, I took another call. That was one of the reasons why I accidentally got cut off from you, is because I was trying to postpone a call I got on my cell phone, and I hit this phone instead of my cell phone. So anyway, I have too many phones around me, I guess, you know. And so it was Ted Nugent. And so at the top of the hour, I spoke to him, and I told him I was on your show, and he told me to give you his best. But he was also talking about a black chief of police in Detroit. And his name is James Gregg. And chief of police for Detroit, James Gregg, is totally on side of the Second Amendment. And some other things as well. And Chief Craig gave some very strong warnings to Antifa and Black Lives Matter to not come to Detroit and pull off any of their violent protests. Or even, he even said that they would take strong action against anybody committing the crime of graffiti. And so I guess they call that tagging. And he says, is anybody in our town trying to tag our walls and deface our buildings and our city, we will take swift and strict action against you. And so he has told his citizens to be armed and to be ready, just like very similar to Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. from Wisconsin. We expect to be ready. And now there's calls for Chief Gregg to run for governor of Michigan, especially with that crazy lady that's in trouble. Isn't it kind of funny, Sam, how the extremist governors are all in trouble now? Whitmer's in trouble lawfully and criminally. Cuomo's looking at criminal complaints and calls for his resignation. Newsom is being recalled. That's the only real hope I see out there for a lot of this, Sam, that there is a pushback against this. And so I don't think Newsom's going to be successfully recalled, but I sure pray that he is. And maybe there is a way to get around some of this, Sam. And I'll tell you the scariest thing. Well, you have to list about 50 things that are the scariest. But another one, Sam, is making Washington, D.C. a state. The JVS has been warning us about that for 50 years, that's what their plan was, to make Washington, D.C. a state. And the idiocy of that is just, again, mind-boggling, but it all helps with the Democrat narrative of doing what, Sam? Creating a monopoly for the leftists, socialists, Democrats, to strengthen their monopoly hold on American politics. Mind-boggling. Every bit of this.
It's mind-boggling, and at first it's the kind of thing where you don't even take them seriously because you think this is a joke. And then they push right. So hard at some point you go, wait a minute, this is not a joke. These people are for real. And I see the riots right. All over the place. I see them trying to use H.R. 1 to take control of the elections. I see them trying to drive wedges with all these things. But I agree with you. I think they are overreaching. And let's go back to the CSPOA conference that we had in Texas just a couple of weeks ago, because I want to highlight what organizations are doing to make a difference. Okay, because I believe if the American people are going to get involved, rather than just randomly trying to do things, it's best to join organizations that have experience and have organization on the ground and have involvement in solutions and have been tried and true in the battle for liberty for quite some time. And so at the CSPOA conference, Sheriff, we rolled out our resolution that we put together in 2014. We brought it out. We have never seen such unity around that resolution as we do now. We have never seen sheriffs literally and counties literally call for our support and assistance to help them navigate this complicated environment they find themselves in. People are awakening like never before in America, and that gives me tremendous hope. But it's hope in the organizations that are on the ground that are making a difference. It's hope in that leadership these organizations provide. It's hope in the opportunities that people are reaching out for these organizations to support and help. And so I see a lot of real problems in America, but I also see a lot of real change in the understanding of people. They're waking up and going, okay, Sam, when you talked about racism before, I thought you were goofy. Now it's something that we really need to let people understand. It's a non-reality, but something they are forcing into the narrative. We have got to stop them and take back that narrative. When it comes to police, hey, this idea that the police are all evil and bad, that's a lie. Yeah, there's bad apples. I get it. They need to be stopped. We need some de-escalation training. I get it. But for the most part, the police is good and have held together the fabric of America for generations. And so the cops are now going, wait a minute, I'm not the bad guy here. And they're right for the most part. We need to help them and train them and support them. And we need to teach the true narrative about who they are and who we are. And we need to create a unity and a civility between us and the police in this nation. And I've never seen such an awakening as I do now, Sheriff.
Yeah, and maybe that will be the silver lining in this, is that people will come together and realize that the destruction of the Constitution is the problem here. And for how many years have I been saying now, America is not in trouble because we follow the Constitution too strictly, and that maybe people will see that that civility is increased and achieved when we agree that there's a few principles that we should all be together on, that the agreement between all sides in this country is simply individual liberty. And there cannot be any more of this freedom for me but not for thee, that it's for everyone, and that the ultimate benefit to you and me, Sam, for being on the CSPOA and having that conference 2 weeks ago, the ultimate benefit for your beautiful daughter who stood up and was assigned to everyone why we're meeting in Texas, this is it. If I create freedom for Larvita McFarquhar in Minnesota, then I'm creating it for my own children and for my own precious grandchildren. That's the only benefit that you and I receive from any of this. And God bless us as we go about that, because that meeting, that conference, portrayed exactly what we're talking about right now. There is hope, and it's happening. And it's real.
And ladies and gentlemen, we have a whole lot more where that came from. We're going to talk about hope. We're going to talk about solutions. We're going to talk about what we can all do to make a difference. And we're going to do it right here on Liberty Roundtable Live, syndicated by Loving Liberty and Liberty News Radio Network.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids."
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q, The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q, The Calm Before the Storm, available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Back live on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman of the Good Sheriff, Richard Mack. We're talking about solutions. They want to divide on race. They want to divide with violence. They want to divide us into groups. They want to divide us into all kinds of fault lines, but we can stop it. And the way we stop it, ladies and gentlemen, is we work together. And we work together based on principles. Principles that bless all. Let me say that again. All. Let me say that one more time. All of God's children. That's the answer. And even if you listen to our commercials on the break, we win, they lose. We're talking about God versus Satan. Versus immorality. We're talking about hope and faith versus fear and discouragement. Mike Lee, senator from the great state of Utah, with the first commercial saying, hey, you know what? You want to solve the world's problems? We don't need climate change discussions. We don't need anger and hatred, and we don't need to attack one person, I win, you lose scenarios. What we need to do is look at the family. He says the answer is to have some babies, American babies. He didn't say white babies or black babies. He said American babies. Why? Because Americans are leaders because of our societal opportunities. Based on the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, we have the ability to innovate and create the greatest economic engine the world has ever known. We have the ability to bless our lives and bless the lives of those around us as Americans. But it's not America first at the expense of somebody else. We want to make our greatest export, the principles that make America great, so that other countries can be great. We want to lead by example and bless others' lives. We've done so. We're some of the most generous people in the entire world. And so Mike Lee says, you know what? The solutions are to get married, have babies. In other words, the solutions are in the family. Solutions are one another. Sheriff?
Yeah, no kidding, Sam. I appreciate. I'm not hearing you very good.
Go ahead.
Okay. I really appreciate Mike Lee's, Senator Lee's. I've complained about him a little bit, but usually he's spot on in his analysis and his perspective, how he brings things together. He's such a calm, I mean, he's not nearly as emotional as I am, maybe not even as passionate. Maybe he is as passionate, he just doesn't express it as maybe as emotionally as I do. My wife always cautions me about getting too emotional on some of the shows. I raise my voice an octave or whatever, and you know that that's how I am. I mean, you've known me, and I've been on your show for 10 years, and you've known me for about 25 years or so. And I am very passionate about these things, and when I see the destruction of liberty happening, it does make me emotional, and I do feel more like Patrick Henry than I do maybe John Adams or some others. But I can't see being so calm when there's an absolute tsunami approaching us. And so, but I think Senator Lee has a calming influence on a lot of this. I don't believe he's one of the, he claims to be, and I believe he is, a constitutional scholar, but I don't believe he's a constitutionalist in the form of Ron Paul. But I'm glad he's there. He's one of the best senators in the entire country. I guess he and Rand Paul would be the two best. But I still wonder about a state that puts Mike Lee in and then also Mitt Romney or others that have represented Utah in the recent past, like Orrin Hatch, how Orrin Hatch was able to stay in there forever, even though he said when he ran that he would not.
Again,
that he didn't like
it has
career
to do a lot with
politicians.
Money. But
I'm sorry, say that again.
Money. Has a lot to do with money. It also has a lot to do with the fact that Americans are simply not engaged. And that's why I say the courage that I'm taking now is that more Americans are becoming engaged in these issues than ever before. Let me give you an example. Mike Lee showed a little bit of passion last Wednesday. He went on Fox and Friends.
Yeah.
And here's the headline. Republican Utah Senator Mike Lee said on Wednesday that Democrats are seeking long-term power by pushing their H.R. 1 legislative bill. He said that it was written in hell by the devil himself. Did you see this?
I didn't. I thought I saw him on, but I didn't hear that comment. That's a great comment.
Yeah, he said it was written in hell by the devil himself. He said, I disagree with everything, every word in it, because even the words and the have meanings that we never intend. I mean, literally He says everything about this bill is rotten to the core. And so, you know, even Mike Lee, who traditionally, you're right, has been pretty, what do you say? Yeah, mellow. Even him now is going, wait a minute, this isn't what I signed up for. This isn't what we're agreeing to. Everything about this bill is rotten to the core. That's pretty
impressive. Well, he's right about that. It is. It is absolutely the most evil, underhanded, dishonest bill in that's hit America in decades. It is literally the Democrats' dishonest monopoly and control over American elections, and it is legalizing cheating. It is legalizing dishonesty, and the Democrats are just so unabashedly and shameless in exposing their agenda to take over America in such a dishonest and illegal manner. It's astonishing, Sam. You know, it used to be that their subterfuge was clandestine. It's not. It's completely transparent, and everybody can see it. But
well, and I think that's what's really creating the awakening. When Americans, you know, they might have been willing to lock down at first because of the coronavirus, because they didn't have knowledge. They were like, hey, everybody should sit down for a week or two, let this thing cool off. But when a week or two or a 10-day lockdown promise turned into literally a year, and when you really saw people at the top who said, you got to stay home, you can't go to restaurants, you can't travel, you can't go on vacation, and then we saw these leaders literally go on vacation while they told us we couldn't, literally eating at restaurants, and you get photos of it where they told the rest of us we couldn't go, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Americans are waking up at incredibly astonishing rates going, wait a minute, hold on a minute now. And where they used to think guys like me on the radio were crazy and kind of overstating the issues, now they're coming back and going, Sam, how did you know? They're coming back and going, Sam, my gosh, you were right. And people are waking up and seeing this for what it is, in my opinion, for the first time in mass, the first time really in the mainstream, if you will.
Yeah. Well, I really hope that the subterfuge and the dishonesty and the corruption do wake people up more, because I don't believe it's enough yet. Maybe it is. I might be misjudging that, but I don't think it's enough yet. But certainly our phones have not stopped ringing. And the emails, I can't keep up with them. And I'm now having to tell people that I can't stay on the phone very long. They call and just want to talk about all the things, the horrible things that are happening to me or to them. And I can't stay on the phone with them. I literally have to cut them off. And I hope, Sam, that is the sign of what you're saying, that people are waking up. But my feeling that it's just the same old people that have been involved in this freedom movement for a long time, I don't think we're getting any new people waking up. I really don't. What we're doing is we're seeing a lot more activity from the people who have already been awakened and already involved in this movement. Maybe that silent minority can make a difference, just like the silent majority.
I'm going to give you an example when we come back and make the point. Quick pause, Sheriff. I'll make the point in a second. You guys know who Milo Yiannopoulos is? I'll tell you about him in seconds on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News.
By the end of the weekend, you could have another $1,400 in your bank account. The Treasury Department and IRS already processing stimulus checks from the COVID relief bill signed into law Thursday. President Biden remarking yesterday on the bill's significance.
For the first time in a long time, this bill puts working people in this nation first. It's not hyperbole. It's a fact.
You can start tracking your check Monday at IRS.gov using the Get My Payment tool. Meanwhile, the New York Times reports the rate of vaccinations is up 40% in the last month. Over 2 million people a day now getting vaccinated. Los Angeles County can continue getting back to normal. Indoor restaurants and fitness centers among those that can reopen next week, and schools will welcome back more students. Some European countries, though, dealing with a third wave of the coronavirus. Italy to impose more restrictions on Monday and a national lockdown in the works for Easter weekend. Germany reporting a sudden spike in cases among children. Poland reporting 19,000 more cases Friday, its highest daily total in 4 months. This is USA Radio News.
Awesome and amazing day, friends. Hey, we are headed towards St. Patrick's Day, luck of the Irish. And I want to give a great shout out to one of the greatest coaches of all time, Lou Holtz, who gave me his permission to use his name and his likeness when I used to be in the banking world. But you don't need luck this year to get healthy. You don't need luck to lose your fat. You don't need luck to get off all those medications. No, all you need is to use those hands and log on to energizehealth.com or call us at 888-444-8895. Friends, you've heard Wayne talk about his amazing transformation, and you know Wayne is a crusader of truth and only speaks the truth. He would not be endorsing this protocol if it hadn't changed his life. You need to log on just to see that. So log on today to energizehealth.com or call us at 888-444-8895.
New York's governor continues to feel the heat from his own party. The state's Democratic senators Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand Friday calling on Governor Andrew Cuomo to resign. In a joint statement, they say due to the multiple credible sexual harassment and misconduct allegations, it's clear Cuomo has lost the confidence of the people. Cuomo, though, insists these allegations won't run him out of office.
People know the difference between playing politics, bowing to cancel culture, and the truth.
Cuomo now facing sexual harassment allegations from seven women. Jessica Bakeman, the latest to come forward in New York Magazine on Friday. She claims Cuomo repeatedly touched her while she was a State House reporter in her mid-20s 7 years ago. Minneapolis agrees to settle a lawsuit over George Floyd's death. The city council Friday voting to pay $27 million to close the wrongful death suit filed in July. Lawyer Benjamin Crump represents the Floyd family, and he says the settlement sends a powerful message that black lives do matter and police brutality against people of color must end. This is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Good Sheriff Richard Mack with me riding shotgun on the show today. All right, we're talking about Mike Lee's comments about the H.R. 1 bill that passed the House and rots, hopefully, in the Senate. Mike Lee said the Democrats are seeking long-term power by pushing their H.R. 1 voting bill. He says legislation that was written in hell by the devil himself. There's nothing good in the bill. It's rotten to the core. Amen to that reality check. Now, Milo Yiannopoulos has made changes to his life. Now, this guy was the guy that wrote for Breitbart that was well-known as the gay guy, and he promoted the gay and lesbian agenda and everything else. Anyway, now Milo has made changes to his life, claiming that he is now straight, according to LifeSite News. He was a former editor with Breitbart, and he now identifies as the ex-gay group. He abstains from sex, and he wants to dedicate his life to St. Joseph. So there you go. You want to respond to that one, Sheriff? People are waking up to some degree.
Well, yeah, that's, I guess there is a little bit pushback, you know, on some of these crazy things. And, you know, I really admire Mike Lee for coming out strong as he did, because that is exactly what this is. But does all of this go back, Sam, to what I said earlier? That the Republicans are very strong when the Democrats are in charge. And I'm thinking
I'm thinking
that's a little bit why Senator Lee was so bold, is because if the Republicans were in charge and doing this kind of crap, You know, they let it go. Where did Mike Lee stand on the Patriot Act? I'd be very interested to see if he voted against that. My impression is that he did. But obviously, two or three votes against the Patriot Act here and there, and the Democrats were complaining about the Republicans then, Sam, that they were voting for a horrible law. Democrats have loved that bill ever since then. And the NDAA and many others. And so that's why we come back to the final conclusion on all of that. The Democrats and Republicans play all-star wrestling. They pretend to be so hurt when the other one does something. And I'm not saying that Senator Lee was pretending, but because obviously everybody should be incensed by this horrible bill. But all of this falls into line, Sam, the race baiting and the open borders and the monopoly that is being created by the Democrats. They want that. They want a complete and utter oligarchy, a Democrat oligarchy over America, where they have complete authoritarian control over America. And yeah, they know there's going to be a few states that are going to remain under Republican control, but you have to wonder if that's really that solid of a thing, and that saying Republican, oh good, we have some Republicans in there. Well, what good do they do? Well, you can look at South Dakota and say, well, it's doing a little bit of good there. And so, you know what? You and I have even talked about moving to South Dakota. And I'm
Crosby
still saying,
talks about a lot, saying, too, what is a Republican? And I think
that's
right,
exactly
on this
right.
Point.
Yeah. So,
you know, what is a Republican? You know, is it a Ron Paul? Is it a Rand Paul? Is it a Mike Lee? Mike's far from perfect. I agree with that. But is it one of those guys? Or is it, you know, the Republicans like an Orrin Hatch or a Mitt Romney or a, you know, there's a really a battle for the heart and soul of the Republican Party. There's a battle
right.
for the heart and soul of the Democratic Party as well. I mean, the old Democrats of yesteryear, I would agree with more than the Republican Party today by a long shot, Sheriff.
Don't you just long for the days of John F. Kennedy? I mean, John F. Kennedy, if he were placed from the time he was president, take the John F. Kennedy of 1962 and put him in Washington, D.C. right now, he'd be run out of town on a rail because he was far too conservative, far too constitutional, far too complaining and standing, I shouldn't say complaining, far too strong in his stance against corruption in government. And what he did in exposing a lot of the subterfuge and corruption is exactly why a lot of people believe he was assassinated. And it might very well be so. I don't know that for a fact, but it certainly has more than just coincidental backing and proof. It's more than coincidental. And so, like they say, nothing is coincidental in Washington, D.C.
You know, where we go from here is hard to say, but I'll tell you what I know. I know that groups are making a difference, and this is kind of what I want to really kind of round out the discussion on. You look at the John Birch Society that has been around literally for 50 years or more.
Yeah,
and you look at that group, and I should say 60 years or more. They took a beating in the 60s because they warned against communism, and then everybody kind of went, communism, oh, that's boogeyman. It's not really real, and John Birch Society is just a bunch of kind of hyper-crazy or hyper-crazy people that believe in conspiracies or believe in this and that. And they really did a takedown of the John Birch Society in the 60s. But the John Birch Society has stood strong and has been a credible voice for liberty for quite some time, Sheriff, and has really stood up strong, really making a difference. Okay, the John Birch Society has made a difference. The Eagle Forum, right. Phyllis Schlafly, has made a tremendous difference. The CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, has made a tremendous difference. Gun Owners of America has made a tremendous difference. The American Family Association, Liberty Council, many of these groups have really done, the Homeschool Legal Defense Association, many of these groups have really done a stellar job. And I think if we can really rally the people around these groups who have provided a tremendous leadership, the American, the Heritage Foundation that we talked about last hour a little bit, you know, these people have been in the trenches for liberty for quite some time now. It's hard for them to get enough support. But this really could, these are the ways that Americans get involved and plug in. The National Taxpayers Union, NTU.org, has made a tremendous difference for a long time. Trying to create accountability with regards to taxes. The Gun Owners of America has done a tremendous job for a long time. So, Sheriff, these are examples of groups doing a great job that Americans can plug into. Liberty Roundtable Live, the Loving Liberty Radio Network. You know, we've been doing a lot of good work for a long time. WorldNet Daily, Breitbart. There's a lot of groups doing just tremendous work. What they really need is dollars and support from people.
Well, it would really be neat to be totally funded in what we're doing. I mean, it would take so much stress off of you and me if we just had the funding. And I will tell you that I really get stressed out trying to raise the money for all the events that we have. And just about every time, good people like Kathy Smith has done several times for us, and others that step up, that, you know, the miraculous meeting that I've had with Gary Haven, and that now we are friends. And, you know, it always seems to happen, and you have to just recognize the hand of God and all of that. And so maybe that's part of the test, and maybe that's part of the program of just always having to do that, to depend and exercise our faith that it will happen every time, because it has. But boy, we could sure spend a lot of time on other things if we didn't have to constantly try to fundraise and depend on other people to step up and come forward. I would be so relieved from so much stress if that were the case, and I know you would be too. If we had a million and a half in the bank and we didn't have to worry about it, and would still take donations and still charge for some of this as people come in and still ask for donations, because then we have enough to do it for the next time, and we know that we have that backup financially that we can have another event anytime we want. And people are already calling for us, Sam, as you well know, to do one of these events every month. And Tanya is now here staying with us. She came last night. And she's saying that there's so many sheriffs that want us to come and be do training, some personal training with them. And we need to do that. And I need to be on the road going to visit these sheriffs.
We do indeed have a lot of work to do, ladies and gentlemen, and there is a lot of hope in America. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. Listen to the wind
blow. The Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government, and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The Foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing Foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various Foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, some people are starting to ask with how dismal it feels. They're starting to ask, listen up. Should we just raise the white flag and surrender? And the answer in my response to that simple question is never. All right, that's my response to that question. Never. We never will raise the white flag in surrender, ladies and gentlemen. Do you want to respond to that simple question, Sheriff, as well?
Yeah, I do. It reminds me of Winston Churchill. And many people during World War II were telling him to do the same thing for Hitler. And then he asked some of his staff that said that they better make a deal with Hitler while they still can. And he says, what does that look like, that we make a deal with Hitler? And they started to actually say that. He said, would that mean a Nazi flag flying over Buckingham Palace, sir? And they could not answer. They could not say no. And obviously the answer was, yeah, it probably would. But we would be alive, and we would still have our country. And so Winston Churchill took a ride on a subway in London and literally had to ask some people how to do it who were standing next to him. And people were amazed because he was such a celebrity and an honored public figure that he was by himself trying to ride a subway. And he got on the subway and he asked the people on the subway what their names were. And they had a little meeting. They had a town hall meeting on a subway where he asked them, do you want us to make a deal with Hitler? And even the little children, a child about the age of your little Annie, and other people, blacks, whites, people from all walks of life, he asked them what their jobs were, what they did, and who they were. And they all unanimously told him, never, never, never. So from right there, with this tremendous support of the people, he walked right in to the parliament and asked them the same thing. I just talked to a bunch of people. This is what they said. Now I want to ask you, parliament, members of parliament, do you want to make a deal with Hitler? Which means literally, Sam, they were surrendering. And that they were hoping that Hitler would be user-friendly and a little bit nice about it. And then that's when he was able to shoot down people on his cabinet saying that they should do this. And there were several who wanted to make a deal because they wanted to stay alive and keep the peace with Germany. And I will say the same thing, Sam. I'm willing to sit down and talk with them. I'm willing to reach out to them. I'm willing to be civil with them. I'm hoping and praying for unity and civility, but I will not surrender. there has to be something where we draw the line, as we said at our conference, then. There must be a place where we all agree on both sides. And to me, that civility is reached when both sides agree that the Bill of Rights must remain intact and that that will remain the supreme law of the land. If it's not, Sam, then we will not have civility and we will not have unity. We'll have unity among you and me and the people who believe in the Constitution, but I am not going to abandon the Bill of Rights. I will not.
And we will not abandon the Declaration of Independence. We will not abandon the Constitution for the United States of America. We will not abandon the principles that made America great, which I believe the political religion of our nation should be the Constitution. That's the political religion of our nation. I believe we need to double down on the fact that we're a Christian country. That doesn't mean we'll force everyone to be Christian, but it means we will back the Christian ideals of the Ten Commandments. We will back the Christian ideals of the two great commandments to which the law hangeth, which is love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor as thyself. These two great commandments and the Ten Commandments, the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution for the United States of America, these biblical truths, these fundamental separations of powers, these constitutional republic ideologies cannot be abandoned, ladies and gentlemen, because if we do, what we're going to do is jump out of the boat of safety, Sheriff.
Yeah, the Mayflower, the Mayflower is what I think of when you said that, you know. No, I'm not jumping off. I'm not abandoning America. I'm not jumping off the America ship. I'm staying on the boat. And I'm hoping that we can still have somebody that we know and trust that can help at the helm, because the American people, we have fallen asleep. We've trusted government, and we were never supposed to do that. And
amen to that reality. Now, Sheriff Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's the new congresswoman that's getting attacked relentlessly.
Oh yeah.
She blatantly came out with a statement that I find really compelling. She says they are underestimating conservatives. They are underestimating we the people, and it's now time to stand up and show them who we really are and what we really stand for. And I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, I wonder about some of the things she said in the past, and that made me wonder how she ever got elected. But I don't wonder about some of the principles that she's been standing for while they've been attacking her. And what Congress did, the Democrats, because they're, again, they have this monopoly, they were able to kick her off of committees, which they had no authority to do. They won't even kick Swalwell off of a committee. And he's on the Foreign Affairs and Intel committees. And yet,
and by the way, he is on the Foreign Affairs with spies,
yeah.
Literally, ladies and gentlemen.
Literally, yeah. And he's, and in fact, people have said that he's had a very intimate sexual relationship with a Chinese operative, a spy for the Chinese government. And yet he has admitted to all of that, basically. He's never said, no, we were just friends. No, we didn't have, no, we weren't, she's not my girlfriend, no. And nothing's compromised, and he's never even pushed back on any of that, none of it. And everybody knows, all the Democrats know. And see, here again, the evil hypocrisy of the left raises its obvious, transparent head, and they don't care. They're not going to go back. They're not going to shoot back at any Democrat doing the same things that they have attacked Republicans for. And that's the problem. And Thomas Paine said it, why we pardon in one case and prosecute on the other. And so it's just such hypocrisy that, and it's so apparent now that I guess that's the overall backdrop of what we're talking about now, of how bad it's gotten, that it's going to get a lot of pushback. And you can bring that up with Cuomo, because now, finally, the Democrats are pushing back. But I almost agree with Cuomo on part of that. Say, how do you know that any of this is true, that you want me to resign, and what has been the investigation? Show me the investigation. And I have to agree with him on that. Why don't you conduct an investigation and then tell him that he should resign? And I know some of the accusers have been interviewed, but okay, that's a little bit of a start. But let's conduct a thorough and fair investigation. He's innocent.
And let's be fair to Cuomo. This is where people say we play games with politics and partisan politics. That's not true. I submit to you that Cuomo is innocent until proven guilty, sir.
Yeah, he is. He absolutely is.
Now, don't get me wrong.
I'm not on his side
defending him against these women. I'm not. I'm just telling you that we have to have the same standards across the board.
No, I'm not either. But he still deserves due process in his day in court. And I don't think he'll let it go to a day in court. I don't think he wants that. But what he has said so far about let's examine the facts and then let's make up our mind. You know, I totally agree with him. So, yeah, let's see. I think there's enough. They don't even need to worry about any of the sexual misconduct allegations. They just need to go after him for one thing and one thing only that I think will bring his demise and criminal charges. And that's what he did with the COVID-19 things for the elderly, to the elderly, not for them, to the elderly, and in nursing homes. I believe that will expose him as an absolute criminal. But he deserves his day in court. He's innocent until proven guilty. And he deserves his day in court, just like everybody else. And this trying people in the media is part of the problem. So, you know, if that's what he wants done, then by all means, do it. But I think he's crazy for not resigning and getting out when the getting's good. But that's what I would tell him if I were his consultant and advisor. But because the evidence is certainly mounting against him, but again, he deserves his day in court, and he I'm totally on his side on that. If he hired me to be his consultant right now, I would take the job. I would love to be a part of helping him in anybody in their court case and having his day in court. I would be totally with that.
And ladies and gentlemen, the reason why is, and somebody would say, well, is that a conservative thing to do? It may not be the partisan thing to do, ladies and gentlemen, but it is the constitutional thing to do for us to have
yes.
the same standards across the board, right?
Yeah, totally.
And that's, I think, the difference. We need to be constitutionalists, not necessarily conservatives. We need to be constitutionalists.
New processes for everybody, and you know darn well that's how I feel, and that's what I want, and I want it for Democrats, I want it for the guilty as well as the innocent, because if you don't apply it to the guilty, the next person that will be victim of that is the innocent. And so a court of law is where we determine the guilt and innocence, and not the news media. And I totally agree with him. The people elected him, not a bunch of politicians.
Amen to that reality check. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we believe that organizations like the CSPOA, that's the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. Become a member today. I'm a lifetime member and recommend you become one as well. CSPOA.org. Spread the word. LibertyRoundtable.com. LovingLiberty.net. Live and on demand radio at your fingertips. For Sam and the Good Sheriff, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.